Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Arnold. Galatians chapter 5. We're going to be in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. We're looking at he that is spiritual, and we're looking at the spiritual fruit. We have established the fact that for me to claim that I am spiritual, now I'm not saying, let me frame this. We are spiritual beings, okay? But being spiritual, in the sense we're talking about, takes the filling of the Spirit. And we have the Spirit. We are indwelt by the Spirit of salvation. If we do not have the Spirit of God, we're not saved. Amen. And in Ephesians, it tells us that we are sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now, notice that the filling of the Spirit has to take place. You know, for a tree to function properly, it's got the inside of that tree has to be right. Right?
Right.
And a fruit tree has to be right, or it's not going to bear fruit. Okay? And so for us to bear spiritual fruit that we're talking about, to exhibit this, this is not, and what we do as Christians, we say, okay, I need to do this. No, stop it. Stop right there. Hold on there. Remember that fellow used to say that on his cartoon? Listen, guy, El Cabon. Just think about this. Stop and ask for the filling of the Spirit. Because I cannot do anything on my own. Greater is he that is in me. Okay? The phrase, do a word study in Christ. The Spirit, the word paraclete, he comes in alongside. He takes up residence. It talks that word indwell has to do with going into a tent. The Holy Spirit is in you. When you're saved, he indwells you. And so you have to allow the Holy Spirit to fill you. The inside has to be operational filling of the Spirit before there's fruit. Let me say it this way. The fruit is a byproduct. Right? How many times have we tried to teach somebody something at work, or teach a child something, and we say, oh, okay, if you'll do this, this will come natural. This will be a natural progression. Mm-hmm. Well, this is a spiritual progression. The Holy Spirit, we must be filled with the Spirit for this fruit to take place. Now, you can fake it. You can fake it. People know you're faking it. They're going to call you on it because they don't want to get into a tussle with you, but there's a lot of people playing church. There's a lot of people playing Christian. And that's why I decided one day I'm going to be me. And I'm Pat Creed Jr. and that's it. That's the way I am. And God bless you. I'm not saying that I'm going to offend you. So what? That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying I'm going to be real. Okay? I'm going to be me. And I want God to fill me, and I want to be like Jesus. But I want to be real. I want to fake it. You know, Walmart comes into town, they start out, and the Walmart greeter is there. I remember when it came to Bowie, and they put stickers, the smiley sticker, and then they stopped. And I said, where are the smiley stickers? They said, what smiley stickers? You know, they just make us happy, and then they go away. And that's the way it is. So, the filling of the Spirit. Now, notice in this portion of Scripture, look at verse 16 of chapter 5 in Galatians. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. You're either fulfilling the lust of the flesh, or you're fulfilling the will of the Spirit, the will of God. Verse 18, but if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. And then it says in verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now, you look at that list. How do you keep up with that? You don't. You don't read these and say, okay, I'm going to be meek today and tomorrow I'm going to be temperate and this. No, it's all at the one time. So we're looking tonight at faith. Faith. If you read magazines, many have devoted been devoted to the history of flight. Why? Well, on December 17th in 1903 in Kitty Hawk, North Carolina, I've been there, Arnold, you've been there, Orville Wright recorded to have flown the first powered flight going 120 feet in 12 seconds. Wow, it's changed in the years. I remember my first flight on a plane, and it was, you know, I thought I wanted a window, and then from then on out I wanted an aisle seat. But we and Mr. Jim Doolittle, he made an instrument landing, and he had complete faith in what the instruments were telling him. And today the planes, they fly in fog, they fly in storms, and they use the instruments, and they have complete faith in the instruments. The Bible commands us to walk by faith and not by sight. Now, let me just say something. That's a tall order, but you cannot have that kind of faith without the filling of the Spirit. Now, let's look at the description here. The word faith in Hebrews chapter 11, if you have your Bible open, Hebrews chapter 11, it says, faith is a substance. Now, faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It's confident assurance and reality that we cannot see. Now, the world would call us fools. The Bible calls us spiritual. The Bible calls us faithful Christians. The evidence, that word is used only one other place in 2 Corinthians or 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the word reproof. In other words, conviction. Now, the ministry of the Spirit of God brings about an inner awareness or inner conviction of the truth of the matter. Okay? The truth. Think of that foundational thought. The truth of the matter. Faith in biblical sense is assurance in truth. It's conviction in what God says is true. It's to be acted upon by the believer. Now, faith in biblical truth, a conviction, an inner conviction that what God says is true. Okay? You with me? And on our part, it's to be acted upon. That's faith. Now, you're not going to be convicted that the Bible is true in times of trouble if you're not filled with the Spirit. We have experienced a year, 2 years of, and the world, and we have people that are peddlers of fear. We have Christians that are afraid. They're afraid. Listen, if we know the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior, and we die of COVID, that's much better. Huh? Way much better. But the transition is something fearful to think about. It's not something we look forward to.
Right.
But we have to have faith in God, and faith is not an inner belief without an outward act. If I gave you a check and signed that check and said, okay, you write any amount you want in it and take it to the bank, and you took it home and it sat there in your drawer for years, well, that's not faith. Right?
Right.
But if you write a one and as many zeros as you can get in that box and take it to the bank, that's faith.
Amen.
Right? Now, I want you to think about this. A person with faith lives out his conviction or belief. Noah, look at chapter 11, verse 7. It says this: by faith Noah, being warned of God of things not as yet seen, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. Now that's a mouthful right there, but he says, God says it's going to flood. What's a flood? Well, it's going to rain. What's rain? You know, they'd never seen that before. It didn't happen before that. So he acted on it. Noah prepared before it happened because he had faith that it would. Now, how many of us are like that? We like to talk like we're like that, but we're not. You understand? Well, preacher, you know, I'm kind of like Gideon. I need to throw out a fleece. Nowhere in the Bible does it say that we're to throw out fleeces, and nowhere in the Bible does it commend Gideon for throwing out the fleece. I'm amazed. If you read, really, the patriarchs and the people in the Bible that God used, they were pretty rotten people. But they had God. Well, I got to flow. I just got to make sure. I've got to have some guarantee that's going to happen. Right? That's what we want. Amen?
Amen.
That's the way we're wired. Hey, listen, we need a tune-up. We need to understand God says if you have this fruit of the Spirit, faith, then you act upon it before it happens. Huh? And so we faith gives substance to unseen reality. It's a kind of spiritual sixth sense. It enables belief in God's word. Faith can be applied both to things hoped for and also for things not seen. That's what it says there. Faith can be applied to these two things. Every sport has a Hall of Fame. And this is the Hall of Faith. This is the Hall of Fame of faith right there in chapter 11. And it's a favorite chapter of ours. But there's also not only a description of faith. I want us to think, secondly, the demand for faith. The demand for faith. Now notice, look at verse 6. But without faith it is what? Impossible to please. We're unable, hopeless, impractical. The word impossible is used of faith on a number of occasions. The Christmas story. Huh? Gabriel says to Mary, hey, you're going to have a baby. What? How's that going to happen? Right? What was her reply? How's this going to be? I've not been with a man. The angel said, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and the power of the highest shall overshadow you. And he tells her in Luke 1:37, for with God, with men, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Now, let me ask you something. If Mary can believe God's going to do that, can't we believe God's going to take care of us? Can't we believe God for the things today?
Amen.
It's time for believers to realize the power of God is available. We need to plug into it. We need to plug into the power of God. Listen, we need to step out. I meet young people all the time, and I meet young people with ability that I wish I had when I was their age. I mean, the adults, you adults, if you could go back to age 18 with what you know now, huh? And we would make some other decisions based on this faith, acting on this faith, conviction that God's word is true and he's going to carry out what he says. Hey, the rapture's not a fantasy. It's going to happen. It's real. It's for real. God's word is powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. That's reality. And there's so many realities that we've seen God perform. We've seen God do things, and he's done things in your life. And God does those things in your life to build your faith. God hands it to you on a platter. He gives you blessings. And we say, I just not sure. I'm just not sure. Pastor comes to somebody and says, hey, I need you to help me with this. Well, I'll pray about it. That is the most unspiritual thing you can say. Don't pray about it. I told you about when my dad was in Tennessee Temple. We went to church, 5,000 people in the auditorium. White-haired man came in, and the song leader got up, and they sang, "Praise God from whom all bless." I mean, it just rang. I still shiver thinking about it. Dr. Robertson would preach with that thundering voice of his, 25 minutes, done. Preach a message. I mean, powerful messages. People come to be saved. People baptized. We go over to the house where we're staying, just a stone's throw from that old church, and a white-haired man looked like Colonel Sanders. M.J. Parker came up and said, "Hey, you need to get in the bus ministry." And my dad said, "I'll pray about it." And he said, "No, you get in the bus ministry and pray God get you out." And we got in the bus ministry, and he never got us out. Dad became bus director of one of the biggest bus ministries at that time. And going all over, and what a ministry! Listen, how that happened? Because of faith.
Amen.
Because of faith. Now, I want you to notice. She replied, and God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or think. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things that thou knowest not. That's what the Bible says, mm-hmm. Right? So the demand for faith, there's a demand. We've got to understand, hey, there's no faith, there's no reality. I hear people all the time say, "Well, you know, I'm depressed." And I think some people really do get depressed, but I think one of the stepstones down to that dungeon of depression is a loss of faith.
That's true, brother.
Right.
Loss of faith. I want you to notice this, the demonstration of faith. Let's look at this. If a person will come to God and seek God in prayer, there are two things he must believe. Notice this. He must believe this. Look at verse 6. For him that cometh to do God must believe that what? You got your Bibles? Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. For he that cometh to God must believe that what?
Oh, that he is.
Yeah, there you go. Wake up. Back to the service. Here we go. Believe that he is. Faith begins by praying one basic essential fact that there is a true and living God. Do you believe that there is a God? The Bible never, and he's not the man upstairs, by the way.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
And he's not just the force of the universe.
Right.
He's not an old guy up there with a beard exactly. And a star hat and a wand snoring on a chair.
Right.
He is the great Jehovah Elohim. I am King of Kings and Lord of Lords. The Bible does not even begin to prove the existence of God. It says, in the beginning, God. There's an implication, there's an assumption. God is.
Amen.
See? Say, well, somebody comes up and says, prove that there is a God. You prove that there is not.
Amen.
That's right.
So how do you do that? Well, go up to 20-story building, jump out. One of the laws of God is gravity. if he's not on the job, you're going to float.
Amen.
Amen.
The Genesis 1:1, in the beginning God. John 1:1-2, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God, period. Mm-hmm. That's it. Well, you know, sometimes I just really think that there may not be a God. Doesn't matter what you think.
Amen.
Well, he didn't do this, so I don't know if he's really... Yeah, he's there. He's there. He's watching over you. Einstein said this, certainly there is a God. Any man who doesn't believe in the cosmic force is a fool. But we could never know him. Proverbs chapter 8 and verse 17. I love them that love me, and those that seek me early shall find me.
Amen. There we go.
Jeremiah 29 verse 13 says, ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. God's not a hobby. Christian life is not a hobby. Faith is not a hobby. Remember, filling of the Spirit, the byproduct of filling of the Spirit is faith. He's indwelt you, activating, asking to fill you. Now we're in verse 6 again. In Hebrews it says that we believe that He is. And then notice that He is a rewarder of them that what?
Diligently seek Him.
God, you see, the fact of the matter is, you set your schedule, you're not seeking God, you let God set your schedule. So, well, preacher, I got a job. Well, yeah. And God gave you that job.
Exactly.
Amen.
This is foolish for me to say, well, God didn't give you that job. No, God gave you that job.
Amen.
But how you do that job? Do you do it with God or do you do it with yourself?
Amen.
I don't get up on Sunday morning and say, well, you know, God, I don't feel like this is seeing those sour pusses. People in Sunday church have to work, have to just jump up and down to get them to even give a holy grunt. What? That's not what I think about. I get excited. Now, I get less, I don't show it as much. The older you get, you know, getting older is not for sissies. And move a little bit slower, you know. Honey, come up here. What, would you tie my shoe? You know, just, I don't do that. But excited, so do you seek God? Do you seek God in everything you do? Write yourself a note tomorrow. When you're eating breakfast, seek God.
Amen.
When you're working, seek God. Seek God and seek Him. And He says you'll find Him. You'll find Him. God is gracious. When uranium was discovered, it was described as a rare, heavy, gray, metallic substance without known use. Boy, that's changed. That's changed a big time. It's the substance of atomic energy.
Exactly.
God Almighty is the one that says, "Is there anything too hard for the Lord to do?" In Genesis chapter 18, verse 14, there's nothing. God, Jesus spoke about possessing faith the size of a mustard seed. He said, listen, this is an indictment on humanity. This is an indictment on Christianity. Amen. If you just had a mustard, you know how small a mustard seed is? It's not even bigger than a gnat. I mean, it's a mustard seed is just a little thing. I was trying to find a picture of a mustard seed for Faith Independent Baptist Church to kind of make a logo with it. I couldn't find anything that looked any. You'd have to color it different colors and make it. I mean, mustard seed's just a teeny. It's teeny. That means tiny, real tiny. You've heard teeny, haven't you? Yeah, you heard that in West Virginia. That's required in school. But it little. Little. Are you with me?
Amen.
You have to, most folks have to get a magnifying glass to look at the thing. And God said if you just had that much faith, you could move a mountain. That's an indictment on us.
Wow.
See, we would rather be an audience and treat a preacher that has a lot of faith and God is accomplishing things through his life like a rock star. We drive miles to see him, hear him preach, and walk away. And in his heart, I'm sure he was praying when he was preaching, God transfer this faith to them. Why could Moses just be a great leader? Faith. Joshua. Faith. God says, listen, your unbelief. Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. After this, Jesus heard, he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He says, you just need to have faith. Just believe. George Mueller prayed over 25,000 prayers. He had over 25,000 prayers answered.
Wow.
What was the secret? He had faith in God. Financial need, salvation of a loved one, health need, something going on in your life. Give it to God.
Amen.
Faith in God. James chapter 1, 6 and 7 says this. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. Notice what it says, for he that wavereth is like this, like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. Now here it is. Here it is. You've been to the beach, you've seen a wave, it comes up, and it's gone. That's not faith. Now some of us get bitter at God because he's not doing something in our life, but where's our faith?
Amen.
Where's our faith? Are we acting on our faith? Are we acting on our faith? Are we? You know, we met Sonia a couple weeks ago. I wasn't here when she came to church. I took Brother Siddler over last night, talked to her, and she talked to Brother Siddler, and he told her he knows exactly where the address is, and he's going to take that to his son, and she hugged us, and I mean she was just so happy, and she told me, she said, your website's not very good. I said, okay. And she said, I can help you with that.
Wow, amen.
She said, and we got talking. She worked 20 years at NASA, and her husband worked at NASA. They've been here for 20 years. I know that. I know now. And you say, what did that do for you? Listen, when I talked to her, when I was talking to her, in my heart, I was just jumping up and down. I was just thinking of the possibilities. And I have faith that God can do something in her, and she can be part of this church family.
Amen.
I have that faith. She's half Russian, half Ukrainian, and Jewish. She'd make a good Baptist.
Amen.
But I have faith, and I ask God, work in her heart, and God help me. I mean, I just knocked on her door one day, and I didn't say, I'm from Faith Independent Baptist Church. Are you going to turn or burn? I didn't say that. I just said, hey, how you doing this evening? I'm just from the church around the corner. I just want to see if I could pray with you about anything. And her eyes lit up.
Praise the Lord.
Her eyes lit up. And she began to tell me. I mean, it was, I couldn't write it down. If I had a legal pad, Miss Anita, I'd have run out of ink. A lot of things going on in her life. A lot of things going on in a lot of people's life. But you put God with Sonia. And you put some people praying by faith. There's no limit to what God can do. Amen? The question is, and here it is, where's your faith? Are you filled with the Spirit of God? We have left this out. We've left this out of our daily living of asking for the filling of the Holy Spirit. Why is my faith wavering? Why am I not built up in the most holy faith? It's because we're not willing to let God fill us. And faith is a byproduct. See, when you're not there, there's no doubting Thomas.
Amen.
When you're out, there's not any whining Willie. Right? When you're out there, there's no, when you're out of you and the filling, oh, there's no lying Larry. I got a million of them. You just need to get out. You get out of the picture and let the Holy Spirit fill you. You know what happens when the Holy Spirit fills you? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, meekness, goodness, faith, temperance, the fruit of the Spirit. Tonight, where's your faith? Let's bow our heads. Father, thank you for the time you've given us. Thank you for your word. May we do business with you this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If God spoke to your heart, you want to get alone with him, where's your faith tonight? Where's your faith? Listen. This is a struggle for every Christian that is honest. Every Christian that is honest, our faith wanes. Our faith wanes. The whole time the Lord Jesus walked on the face of the earth with those 12 disciples, he wanted to see them have faith. They didn't. They didn't have faith, and then God did a great thing and fed the 5,000. They didn't have faith, and God calmed the sea. Faith. You have people in your family that you've just written off and say, there's no way. Hey, have faith in God. Ask God. And let him know you're not going to let go. Amen. Let's receive an offering. You may be seated. Father, bless the gift and the giver according to thy will. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. Got to get ready for the kids to come in.
We need some mics up here.
Oh, it's so good.